Kentucky Derby Day in America. And I feel like we're living in London, though, because we haven't seen the sun in probably 3 weeks. And everybody's starting to pucker up like a prune. And it's not nice. But what we have nice in here today is Kim Weir. He's from the PRF Foundation, and that's the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And she's brought a friend with her who is a longtime friend. And I don't know how, when you say longtime, Kim, I don't know why, because you two are so young.
We love that about you, Rick.
It must be about 5 years.
You are just so good.
But you are the Director of Major Gifts and Planned Giving. And tell us a little bit about the PRF.
Well, it is such a pleasure to be here, Rick. I love speaking with you. And I'm happy to tell you that having just come and to the studio, the sun is shining. So we need to get you, when we finish, we need to get you outside to see. Yeah, it just came out, and it is the first time in weeks. I think it's my friend Ellen who brought the sunshine with her. But it's happy. It's turning into a beautiful day, and it is Kentucky Derby Day, and it's a very special day to talk about the thoroughbreds that I love and serve and speak for. So thanks for giving me a chance to introduce what we do. The Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, for those listening, is the oldest and largest charity dedicated to thoroughbred racehorses in the United States. We were founded 35 years ago with a mission to save thoroughbred horses no longer able to compete on the racetrack from possible neglect, abuse, or slaughter. So we were created to make sure that these beautiful, wonderful, frankly amazing animals have a secure and healthy life after their racing days are done. And that is the work we do. We serve a herd today in 2019. Our herd is 650 of these amazing animals. And we make a promise that every horse we save will be with us for the rest of its life. We keep them happy and healthy, and also putting them to good work as teachers through one of our programs. But our goal is to make sure the ones that we take in will be safe and secure forever. Happy to chat more about that, but that's who we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things about horses is that they are such comfort animals. People think of dogs in nursing homes and cats. If you could get a horse in a nursing home, I think people would love it because they are such wonderful animals to be around. Not on the racetrack, though.
Well,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, so the PRF takes care of horses, and you rely solely on donations or gifts. And how is that? I mean, do you find that you can survive on what you do?
Well, fortunately, we, for 35 years, have had an extraordinary community of supporters, and it is entirely funded. We are entirely supported by private gifts, generally from individuals who care about the horses, they care about the sport of racing, or they care about the work that our horses are doing in correctional facilities, which is a program I know we'll spend at least a minute on here, Rick. But to your point about the magic of these animals, my friend who's visiting and I were out early this morning feeding the four horses that are living in Saratoga with us right now. They're four that we rescued from a neglect situation. And they, while they're very skinny, they are very grateful. And they convey that spirit, that feeling that you're describing so well, Rick, that when you're around these animals, they really impact you. They ground you, they calm you, and it's really the look in their eye that they see you for who you are. And it's something I do love to speak about because we all, especially on a day like Derby Day, most of us and probably most of your listeners today think of racehorses today, on the minute when they turn on the television and they see those, it's going to be 18 horses that run today. They are at the peak of their performance careers. They're 3 years old. They are all muscle. They are all run. And they are not calm, gentle, therapeutic, comfort animals. They are athletes in the Olympics in the run of their life. So it's exciting to see them as athletes, but part of very much part of what we do is educate and love opportunities like this to speak about the animals as in their whole life, because we're seeing them today at 3 years old. All the horses running in the Derby are 3 years old, and this is a fun fact for your audience to know that they all had the same birthday. Yes. On January 1st. They all turned 3 years old. And this is the peak of their career. They may run for another 2, 3, or 4 years. Usually 6 or 7 is the end of a horse's racing career if they're healthy and successful. Our role is to take care of them from the time they retire and finish racing till the time of their natural life expectancy, which for many people are surprised to hear that that is at 25 or even 30 years old. So in that time, they can turn into many things, and they are very malleable. They are very athletic, and they are very interested in having second careers. So that's a lot of what we are part of, a community that helps those animals find their second careers and to make sure that they are well cared for and useful in the world for the length of their lives.
Sure. You know, you said you can tell by the look in their eye. I found out now we have a dog, and we got her a year and a half ago, and she is my wife's dog. And she's a pit bull. We had a pit bull before that was so amazing. Well, she has got anxiety problems. Wife's not home, she'll go on the side of the couch and won't come near me or whatever. Yeah, it's a long thing, and it's sad because when you have the perfect dog, your first one. But what I was looking up on the internet, and they said the way a dog connects with you is looking eye to eye. Mm-hmm. That is the way they can get a bearing on a person. So when you said that eye to eye, you can see it in their eyes, it probably makes them feel good too. And they, you know, because in the dog world, that shows that you love them, making eye contact.
It is. It's very powerful, certainly for us on the human side, when you realize how that animal is responding to you. And horses are so sensitive in the way in which they can truly read what we're thinking and what we're feeling. And since they don't speak our language, all they can do is read what your intentions are. So they can be very therapeutic, as if you use that word, and we do too, because they are really a mirror on your own thoughts, feelings, your level of confidence. So it is really a true pleasure to speak about them and all that we do. But to your question there that I probably didn't answer properly, we have been incredibly fortunate to benefit from people who've supported us for all these years. And every day we are inspired by the new folks that come along and believe in what we're doing and offer to help. And I think today was inspired by this wonderful group of people who are putting on the David Cassidy Memorial Concert two weeks from now. Because this is just an incredible example of what we experience all the time, which is people who care about our animals and find their own way to support what we do. And they share the word with people who might not even know much about horses, might know nothing about horse racing, but may have a strong connection to someone who did. And that was the case for us, for Mr. Cassidy, that he loved horses so much. And he's truly inspiring people to care about them. Sure. Through him. It's amazing.
Well, it's the same way with this Dr. Belinsky. How he met David Cassidy was a trainer or owner suggested to David that he board his horses at Belinsky's farm. And a friendship grew. And the friendship was because of but they had horses in common. And it developed into a nice friendship over the years. And that's how I think people in the horse industry are very close. Mm-hmm. And if you, especially this way, when they know a horse, when its racing days are over, isn't going to be put down or somewhere else, they do tend to help out in the situation. Because, I mean, I know that it's got to be hard. Horses need a lot of care.
They do. I gently but kindly and truly say they eat money for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So it's a big responsibility.
We don't know what they eat. No.
Yeah. Hey, the pun. Oh, I love the pun.
But anyway, you know, I take umbrage at one thing you said before. And I don't want you to take this the wrong way.
That's okay.
But I did speak to Mr. Ed, and I knew
He could speak. Okay, he is an exception. You're absolutely right. They can't. Right. He was a rare bird. I did love Mr. Ed. I agree. I will. I concede the point, Mr. Thompson.
So we have another program which I think is fantastic, where you take the horses into prisons.
That's right.
Why don't you talk about that? Because that's a fascinating idea.
Yeah, well, I love speaking about it, and I think it all comes back to the same point that these animals have such an impact on the people around them. I personally feel I was raised by horses. At least all the good things they taught me, all of my flaws, those are my responsibility. But horses made me the best person I could be, and they do that for all of us. I think they might have done that for Mr. Cassidy and Dr. Belinsky, and every person who works on the backstretch is there because they love these animals. So if you distill that part, what is it about these animals that make us love them so? It is that ability to convey trust, to give us confidence, to make us empathetic, to teach us responsibility. These things horses taught me as a child in ways without words, except for Dr. Ed. They teach everyone on the racetrack these things. So when you talk about our TRF Second Chances program, that program is one that we've been running in partnership with correctional facilities since the very founding of the TRF. The very first horse that was taken into our herd, his name was Promised Road. He was 9 years old. He was a gelding. He'd run 100 times, and he would not have had a optimistic future should he not have been taken in by the TRF. But when he walked off the van into our care, his first field was at the Wallkill Correctional Facility in Wallkill, New York, medium security prison, where he became our very first TRF teacher. His role, and all of the hundreds of horses that have come to Wallkill since then, was to teach the inmates how to take care of a horse. So he and all of his brethren are teachers in a vocational program that Wallkill started. They founded it, they piloted it, and it's nationally and internationally acclaimed all these many years later. Very grounded in the vocational skills and tools of how do you care for a thoroughbred racehorse, how do you care for its feet, its teeth, how do you manage feeding horses in a field, there's always an alpha horse, all the dynamics, very hands-on and very practical. And while that's why the prisons love our program, because it's a true skill that can be employable when they leave. Right. The magic, and I am unafraid to use the word magic, is the skills those horses teach as humans. It teaches those men, and they say these words over and over again. This horse taught me to be patient. I was never patient before. These horses taught me to work hard and to show up every day, and that's where I got into trouble in my old life. They taught me to be aware of my own body language and how my attitude and actions affect others. I can't make this stuff up, Rick. It's amazing how these horses make these people better, and it gives them a better shot when they leave.
Oh, my gosh, yes. No, I just want to know, did the horse get paroled?
I do like to make sure we understand that our horses are not imprisoned. They do not live behind white razor wire. The guys are pretty closely monitored, but the horses have a lot more freedom.
And we talked about this before, that, and just what you said, you get these prisoners that have to take care of something, and it's that they have something to focus on rather than just being in prison. And it's got to mean a lot to them. And like you said, they have a career outside in the industry if they so choose, and they've already got it. It's almost like an apprenticeship.
Yeah, it really is.
You know?
And it's all about purpose. And I speak about this as much about my own life and my friends and my family, that we all thrive when we feel we have a purpose. Thoroughbred racehorses are just like us in that way. I'm trying not to be that crazy person who says that horses are as smart as humans or they're the same as us. They're not the same as us. But in this one particular way, thoroughbred racehorses are designed to have a job and to have a purpose. They were designed to be racehorses. They are designed to run. They are happiest when they've got an eyeball on their fellow horse coming to the finish line, as I hope we'll see this afternoon in the greatest 2 minutes in sports. They're running because they love to run. When they can't run anymore, they need to have another purpose or they will not thrive, just like all of us in our lives as we evolve. So then the really amazing thing, it's of course why we named this program Second Chances, is that we feel that in the work we're doing, we are giving these men and women in these prisons a second chance to become the better person, the best person they can be, to be useful in society and to be better citizens. At the very same time, we're giving horses who otherwise would have been forgotten and be facing some very terrible outcomes, they now have a purpose. So it's such a pleasure to talk about it. It does take money to do it, and so the ability to share the message and let people know that anyway, this gives folks who care a way to engage.
Right.
Because there's many, many ways to be helpful. Things like organizing a concert that bring people together and raise some dollars. Every dollar goes to hay, veterinary care, taking care of their hooves. It's very straightforward what we do, but we do have a lot of horses to care for, so every little bit makes a difference.
Well, it's nice to tie in to the David Cassidy Annual Memorial Celebration, because as one of the beneficiaries, that's an added stream.
Yes, it's wonderful. Out. So appreciated.
I think, I may have to change my clothes because I couldn't wear my security outfit outside, but I'm going to get money from PETA.
Oh.
They talk big. I want to see green.
Oh, interesting. Yes, I'm going
to
let you chase that one, Rick. The truth is we are saving horses and we are saving lives. So there's a lot of ways to feel good about what we do. We love that everything we've heard from David Cassidy's fans, or they know that he loved horses and he cared for them and he felt that special bond. I think they gave him that sense of calm. They gave him that sense of respite. Gave him those things that we all seek in them. So I think this is a beautiful way to recognize him for the person that he was, by recognizing something he cared about. We feel very honored to be a part of the beneficiary team, but we also appreciate that this gives us a chance to educate people about these racehorses, especially on a day like today, the biggest racing day in the year, that these racehorses do have long lives after their racing days are done, and they can be very happy, healthy ones, thanks to you, Rick.
This is not a video podcast, by the way. You're right. I mean, I grew up on the opposite end. City over that did the opposite end of the horses of what you're talking about. That's why when I heard about this, when I first moved up here, it was so refreshing to know that there was a place that horses could live out their lives. And like you said, it's not a 2-year deal, 3-year deal. It's a long period of time. You had mentioned about the racehorses, they live, are there at their peak today. There'll be, these 2018 horses or however many, which I think is too many, but whatever. They're at their peak performance now. And they may go on for the next two races after this. The good ones will probably retire at the stud. We don't get to see a horse like Secretariat. Horses that raced years ago, that they just kept racing, and they went out and started after, so it's great. There's probably so many more horses that need places like the TRF now.
Yeah, well, there are many horses because the economics of racing have changed. That's the big, that's the big driver for why we don't see a Secretariat. Of course, we probably would simply never see a horse like that again anyway. But the economics are such that they retire earlier because the money is just undeniable once they go to be either broodmares or sires. The really good thing that's happened that's also changed, and equally, if not more important, is that there are now many organizations in the same industry that I am. We call ourselves the thoroughbred aftercare industry. And once upon a time, we were the first, and it was lonely out there being the only one to save these horses. And it was actually impossible. There were too many for one organization. So I am so pleased to just, while not muddying the waters, to make sure our listeners know that we are essentially the last resort. We are the place for those horses that are usually injured and unable to pursue a second athletic career.
Sure.
But most of them don't need us. Most of them, I always use these 80-20 rules. We love to think that most of them, because of their retirement at a young age, can go on to be trained to do something else. And they from police horses to cutting horses to show jumpers, these are incredibly, they're designed as athletes. So just like the best runner can become a great tennis player, can be great golf player, that's like the raw material we're working with here. So as long as they finish, and this is what's changed so much in the industry, is that the owners, the trainers, the fans are expecting, much like we saw with Justify last year, our Triple Crown winner was retired because they were concerned about his health and they wanted him to be healthy and not hurt.
Right.
And now people are doing that. People are doing the right thing much more often than they're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
And we feel grateful to be a part of something that's not a worst case scenario all the time.
Well, our horse is easily trainable to go into a different field, like show horses or police horses. Are they easily trainable? Or?
They are, and it's funny, folks. We always see what we see on television. The analogy someone shared with me recently, I did not make this one up, but I've been using it a lot, is that if you think about the pitcher, because I'm looking at your Yankees hat here, my friend.
I was looking at yours.
Okay, well.
How can I get one of those?
We need to get you one of these. You are such a good TRF ambassador. You need this hat, Rick. And they are available on our website for sale for all of our fans. TRF shop is available. We'll make sure everyone has the website at the end. But I use this analogy of the athlete, like the pitcher of the Yankees, who's totally designed at this point to pitch that many pitches at that incredible speed, mm-hmm. and to be his optimal performance is pitching those. But one day he will have pitched his last pitch. It's going to take him a while to become a good golf player, but he can because he's an athlete. He knows how to work hard. He knows how to focus. He has the physical ability, but he will have to retrain his brain and he will have to recondition his body. Horses, thoroughbred racehorses in particular, are uniquely able to do that because they are so responsive to us, the humans in their life, but to their surroundings. So when you see these horses today on the Derby, they are amped up, they are on their toes, they are kind of fire-breathing dragons, quite frankly. You do not want to try to touch one of those horses. It's like they're in the zone and they are ferocious, but they are responding to the environment around them and the environment in which they're being trained. So to say it's easy, no. I would not say it's easy to retrain a thoroughbred, but they are super responsive when in the hands of folks who know how to do it. It's not like they're stubborn or they're stuck.
Right.
But they do need, they need a process of letting down, is what we call it. They have to learn, they just have to get all that, frankly, adrenaline out of their system. They have to stop feeling like my whole job is to run as fast as I can all the time. And they learn that from the people around them and the messages they're getting. And then once they kind of let down, fascinating to talk with, and I maybe would love to have you have a guest from one of these other organizations. There are gifted horse people in the world who essentially know how to look that horse in the eye, ride it around the ring, and figure out what is this horse designed to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be all these various things, from show jumping to dressage to cow cutting to police work to a therapy horse. They all can do something else. You just have to figure out what they want to be. And it's not a horse whisperer. It's a little bit of a horse whisperer thing. But as long as you are open to what their raw talents are, they are eager students. That's the main takeaway, is that they want to learn something new because they want to have, and then they respond. You just sort of set up their circumstances to reinforce those messages, and they will just dive right in. They put the same heart. That's part of what we breed into racehorses, is heart. It's a little bit intangible, but it's what they have in spades. And you put that heart into something else, and they will be the best show jumper, pony club pony, police horse that you could imagine. It's just really awesome.
Well, I must admit that I wanted to be a horse whisperer.
So did I.
For about 2 weeks, but the horses couldn't hear me.
You just do too much.
So,
you need to whisper louder.
Yeah, I couldn't get it.
We'll take you out this summer to meet our horses and see how it goes. We can practice
great.
On them.
Well, we have 2 days off now this week.
Right? Yes, you can come visit regularly.
So May 19th is the David Cassidy Annual Memorial Celebration, and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation is a beneficiary. It's one of the beneficiaries of the event. So I would suggest that anybody to go, if you have Sunday evening, and we'll see you there. And I know I'll see you there.
Oh, you know I wouldn't miss it. I can't wait, and we are so grateful. Please let me just say two things as I wrap up, Rick, is that we are so grateful to the organizers of this event for thinking of us, for continuing to reach out to us, and to build a partnership with us over the past year. It's been so much fun. We've learned a lot. We've had some great events together. We've even had folks out to the barn to meet the horses. So we love being a part of this, and we are terribly thankful. Just because it is my job and I love doing it, I want to mention to all the listeners that if they'd like to learn more about the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, to please visit us either on Facebook. We are really, really active, tons of beautiful pictures, and to go to our website, which is trfinc.org. And you can learn lots about us. You can connect with us, reach out to us, and we hope that you'll come to Saratoga and meet.
And
buy a hat. Yes, yeah. You can go to the website and buy a cool hat, too.
yeah, and they are cool, man. Let me tell you. I want to thank you, Kim. As always, it's great.
We have
Except
a great time.
Go out to breakfast today.
I know. Next time.
I want you to get going to your Kentucky Derby party to get ready for that, because that's going to be a lot of fun. So, everybody, thank you for being with Kim and myself. City, 6 to 11, and there's going to be a book signing by Johnny Ray Miller, who wrote the book, When We're Singing, and which I'd like to get, because it's about 8 inches thick, and it lists everything. And King Neptune's Pub is on Kuruska Lane in Lake George,